So I got, like, you know those thoughts that, like, mess with your mind if you think too much about it?
Yeah.
Okay, the other day I saw a picture of a baby, and I was like, oh my gosh, it looks so much like its mom. And then I started thinking about the whole birth process. Like, it's literally the child is part dad, part... I'm not joking. I started questioning life. I started, like, down this spiral, and I was like, I can't breathe. It was so rough. But, like, Ash, think about it.
Right.
No, think
about it. No, I am.
No, Ash, think about it.
I am.
Ashley, think about it.
That was the worst grandpa laugh I've ever done.
My eyes are watering again. Bro, we need to move. We need to move fast. We need, Mark, help. Just roll the thing. I need to move fast. I can't think about it anymore.
What is up, everyone? We're still recovering from that weird tangent.
Dude, it's been like, I'm not joking, it's come back in my head like at least once a week, and I'm not well about it.
Hi,
everybody. Welcome.
Such a weird intro.
But, like, welcome back. About it.
Let me do the welcome, Taryn. Let me do it.
Okay.
Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Ashley.
Darren.
This is Unsolicited Advice. If you guys are new, welcome to the club. This is the cool people. All the cool kids listen to this.
This is where all the cool kids sit. Wait, were you in a club in high school? We talked about
Absolutely.
I was in beatbox club.
Of course you know what's
funny? You know what's funny? I couldn't even like beatbox that well, but they would beatbox and I would sing. Basically like pitch perfect, like at the end, but just me and a bunch of people that.
Oh my God. Incredible. Yeah. I did drumline and choir.
I did choir too.
And
ASB.
Band.
Softball.
Yeah.
Basketball.
Yeah.
Volleyball.
Okay.
As ASB president.
So. Okay, calm down.
We should find. Like our yearbook pictures. Oh. I know I can find my one of me and Beatbox Club. We like sat and we tried to look all like hip hop.
I feel like you looked just like you look like you in high school. I feel like I do not look like me in high school.
You want to know something funny?
What?
Like, I feel like that should be a good thing, right? Like, I literally, so my parents have up on the wall, you know, in the hallway.
Yeah, yeah.
They have these really cool frames where it goes literally like 1-year-old, 2-year-old, 3-year-old. Every year of your life is like circled. I can post it on the pre-fits if you guys would like to see because I'm adorable. But every, like, I didn't go through an awkward phase. Like, no. I mean, semi-awkward. Mine was much more awkward.
A little awkward. Yeah, normal. But. Mine.
But I'm weirdly jealous because of how fun it is to look at your old pictures. And Ashley, think about how many times you've shown a picture and we've been like cry laughing. Like, that's funny. I hate the fact that you look back
Taryn
at all mine and it's like,
literally
oh, you're so cute.
Looks the same, just like an older version of herself now. Also, I just want to say, I feel like the circle photo album thing shouldn't end.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Like, why does it end after high school? Like, it should just go through.
I think that's so true.
To today, currently.
Mom, if you're should listening to this, yes.
A life album.
It's
like a yearbook photo every single year.
Every year you have to go to like Star Shots and get a freaking portrait shot done.
Absolutely.
No, but we should post like you freshman year. When was your like most awkward year?
Freshman.
Was that your boy haircut?
That was, freshman and sophomore were pretty bad. Junior year, I started pulling it together a little bit. middle school, freshman, sophomore, I mean, two different people. Like, everyone, you know how people like kind of glow up in high school? Middle school was always rough, but then in high school, they kind of find themselves? No, not me.
Dude, Ashley.
I didn't glow up until I was like 23.
She would tell me about her pictures and she's like, no, you don't know how bad they were. And I was always like, okay, like, yeah, they're so bad. I was like, yeah, me too. Like, whatever. I'm not joking. Like, I'm telling you, like, cry laughing. And, like, imagine, like, no. if you do, like, a wedding, like, slideshow. No. Like, that's
He's
going to
be so good looking and so cute. And I'm just going to, everyone's going to be like, wait,
mine's
what?
Mine, people are like, aw. And then yours, it's like laughter, which is so much better.
No, it's not.
It's so much better.
It's so bad.
We're going to post them. Don't worry,
people.
Oh,
my God. It is horrible. But I know I'm not alone in this. High school was just rough for me. It was just rough all around. Yeah. It was bad stuff. So it was the outfits. It was the hair. It was the haircuts specifically. I couldn't do makeup. And nothing in my favor. Yeah. Didn't help that I did band either.
I mean, but you were a drummer. Like, that's cool. No? Oh.
You know.
Well, I think that's cool.
Well, yeah, well.
Like, I wish we were friends.
Then? Oh, yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
I feel like high school would have been way more fun if you were there with me. Tell me something you've been into lately, lately.
Okay. I have this weird thing. If I'm really into something, sometimes I avoid it.
Wait, that's the exact opposite of what we were talking about in the last episode.
Well, okay. In certain ways, right? Like, I'm talking specifically TV shows and movies.
Okay.
I have a weird thing where I'm so afraid of either something ending or something not being what I thought it was. So I think that's one of the reasons I love Lego so much, and people with anxiety do well with stuff like that, which the more I learn about myself, I think I'm very anxious, but yeah. Like, It's very deep within, and I was not aware of it. You know what I mean?
Until recently.
So,
thank
so
you, 2020.
With Legos, you know what? Freak you, 2020. So with Legos, like, I love it because I know what it is. I get to build it, and it's like, no, there's not a lot of thought involved. It's just like fun for me. But with certain things, like shows, so like Mandalorian came out, right? Mm-hmm. And cut to me wearing my Millennium Falcon shirt, which, by the way, I'm not joking. Like, if I walk in public, multiple guys will stop me and be like, dude, your shirt is so cool.
Yeah.
So I think I broke the code, you guys. You wear Star Wars stuff.
Cover yourself in Star Wars merch. And then just walk around. Yeah. The guys will find you.
But it's not just Star Wars merch. Like, this shirt's like cool. It's like
dating
different.
Advice from Taryn 101.
Yeah. You know. Anyways. So Mandalorian, I started it. It was so good, and I liked it so much that I began to avoid watching the episodes because I was the same, that, like, anxiety comes up of, like, I don't know. It's so freaking weird. Handmaid's Tale, never finished it. Love that show.
You know,
like,
what? Handmaid's Tale is a very stressful show.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
I kind of
But you
get
know what
one.
I mean? Like, it's weird. Like, I'll avoid certain things.
It is weird because I'm the exact opposite.
I know you're
I
the exact
I need to
opposite.
Know what happened, and I want to know now.
But I think that's why I thrive when we watch stuff together because it's, like, a fun. Anyways, so I finally finished Mandalorian.
Okay.
And the last episode freaking broke me. I was so confused because I was confused of where in the Star Wars timeline it was falling. Mm-hmm. And I have so many questions. And I have no one in my life because you're not going to help me.
Right.
So I need to, like, I literally just finished it. So now I need
so
to, like, talk
Star Wars
about
fans, friends.
I mean, I do, but, like,
talk
not in my immediate that I was, like, with that I could be like, oh, my gosh.
I bet Mark
talk
watched it.
Mark. So, you're a Star Wars fan.
Indeed.
Okay. Did the last scene of the episode, can I just talk about it, Ash?
No.
But it's been out forever. If they haven't watched, they can just skip.
Okay.
Really?
All right, ready? Yeah. Spoiler okay. alert. If you haven't seen the last episode of Mandalorian Season 2. Skip well, forward right
this
now.
This is now
like
a
2 minutes.
Star Wars podcast. I'm a step out.
Okay. So to set this up, I thought someone had told me this show took place like the very like after all of the Star Wars movies had happened, right? So mentally that's what I was going in. And then the very freaking last scene, freaking Luke Skywalker walks in and takes Baby Yoda.
Yep.
Who's not Baby Yoda, right? Because Yoda was a separate thing.
So this goes back to, I remember Jon Favreau, the director, was and the writer as well, was always kept saying, like, I wish I wish people wouldn't call, I forget the little thing's name.
Grogu.
Now. Yeah, Grogu. I wish they wouldn't call Baby Yoda because that's one, a misnomer, and two, like, very confusing because, again, the timeline.
Yeah.
And so, sure enough, you're right. When Skywalker came in, I'm like, what? And then all of a sudden, it almost ruined the emotional resonance because I was like, what is happening? What's going on?
Because nothing makes sense about the rest. There's no mention of Grogu. There's no other, like, for Luke to have found him looking the way he did, that would be right, like, literally in the middle of the, like, original trilogy. Yep. So it makes no sense to me. Like, well, R2 came in and I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, it actually makes perfect sense in the planning of it, but I had to actually almost rewatch it because I was like, okay, now I want to enjoy it knowing where it stands in the timeline because that just completely... Like, it got to the point where I actually paused it and started Googling things.
Well, and then...
I'm going to insert myself. I asked what's new. Not a synopsis of the entire show. Let's bring it back to the advice podcast, you know, that we have.
You have things you enjoy. I have things. And Mark, yeah, half the is the person I've been out. Waiting to ask about.
And also, I'm going to cut all of this, so it's fine.
You can cut this whole conversation.
You better not. You better not. Leave it in.
Everyone's we're only like, at 13. Where's the advice? What's happening here?
Thank you, Mark, for being the person I can talk to about this. Appreciate
anytime.
You. Appreciate you.
Also, I'm one of those people that complimented the shirt when you walked in.
Thank you.
You were
Thank,
the
I'm
person.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you. So, Ash, what's new with you?
Oh, you know. I have recently been listening to Leon Bridges' new album. And it is fire.
Yeah.
I've been listening to it on repeat. If you don't follow him or know who he is, 100% download his stuff.
Can
it's
you give
so
us
good.
Your like top song that you recommend?
Motorbike.
I agree. Mm. So good.
His voice is butter, and it's pure bliss to listen to.
Yeah.
So absolutely. That's
love
what
it.
I've been obsessed with.
Yeah.
Guys, it is officially September, which blows my mind. I cannot believe we are more than halfway through 2021.
Also, summer's over?
Summer's
what?
It is like we're in September. It's crazy. But this happens every year. It sneaks up on us, and all of a sudden it's here. October series is next month, which is wild. And I am already going to start talking about it because we need your stories now.
Yes, we do.
Right now. If you guys don't know what October series is, if you like scary stories, you definitely need to go to all of our old October series from last year and the year before and binge those because Taryn and I will talk about only scary stories for the entire month of October. It is so much fun.
Yes.
Taryn and I go so hard for the video promotions for those episodes. You guys send in some of the spookiest, scariest real life situations that have blown our minds. It feels like I'm in an actual movie every time I read it.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. I think the difference is like, it's, I think that they've understood that this is like, it's thematic, right? Like, it's like, it's, you write with details. Like, think about as if you were reading it in like a low tone,
toined.
I just ruined that whole sentence. A low toned voice with music playing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you're putting us in the situation to really like bring it home.
Yeah, if you're gonna sit down and write it, grab a thesaurus. Let's dive in.
Yes, that is like the best part of it. I am not joking. I think it's like my favorite time of year.
Yeah, October is the best time to be alive, in my opinion, period. I just love that whole season. But yeah, we are very stoked and very excited to be having our third October series on Unsolicited Advice. So if you have a scary story or you know someone who has a scary story, I charge you with the duty of not only sitting down and writing your scary story, but if this is a friend of yours or a family member or whatever, take them out to coffee, get their story and send it to us because we need it for content for October. And I'm very excited about it.
I'm very excited too, Ash. Are we going to go in hard on our promos again?
Absolutely. We always do.
Duh. And we have another exciting announcement that's coming, but I feel like it's too soon to talk about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So just be ready. Mm-hmm. Follow us on Instagram because you'll know before everyone else.
Absolutely.
If you do.
Absolutely. Okay, we're going to dive in now to our favorite segment, Tearing It Up. This is this segment where you guys send in funny stories and Taryn and I just get a good laugh at it.
Love it.
Let's dive in. Hi, wonderful ladies. After reading this back, I would prefer to stay anonymous.
Stop. Stop. That is the best way to say it. I love how you
worded that. That's so funny.
After careful consideration.
Yeah. After reading this and realizing how humiliating it is. Yeah. Okay. This story was a pretty long time ago, but I didn't want that to stop me from writing in.
I love that.
Wow.
I love that.
Our hero. Mm-hmm. So here we go. I was in elementary school at the time and was obsessed with books. So I would take them with me literally everywhere. On one fateful day, I took Dork Diary number 9.
Dork Diary? I've never heard of that.
Me neither. Dork with Diary? The cheetah print cover to the bathroom with me. I'm sorry in advance, Ashley. I went and then proceeded to put my book on the countertop. And then wash my hands. But I was so engrossed in the story, I ended up putting my elbow on the book to hold it down so I could continue to read. That's how into the story she was.
I pulled up the...
Oh.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah. So I'm going to paint a picture here. She's bent over with her elbow holding the book open, washing her hands so that she can read.
She's reading while washing her hands. She's doing this. Interesting.
So she's, again, bent over with her elbow holding the book open so she can read while trying to wash her hands.
Okay.
I then let go of the book to dry my hands, and because the book's pages were unbalanced, it fell right into the toilet after I had already gone and hadn't yet flushed.
Wait. Oh, I wonder, was it one of those like individual bathrooms? It had to have been, right?
I'm assuming so, yeah.
Oh, no.
I didn't panic. I just quickly got it out and got paper towels. Thankfully, I didn't go number 2. The pages became misshaped, but it's the exact same as if you spilt water on it.
Ah, is it?
Shoot. They write, a few months later, my friend was at my house and wanted to borrow my book, specifically Dork Diary number 9 with the cheetah print cover. I told her I had gotten apple juice on it and she can't borrow it. But at this point, she had already grabbed the book and was going through the pages.
Oh, my gosh.
Thankfully, I convinced her not to read it, and I let her borrow some other things instead. But to this day, she doesn't know that she had touched my book with my dried pee on it. I do still have the book because every time I try to throw it away, my mom asks me why I don't donate it instead. I haven't told a single soul about this book until now. And while I loved that I loved reading as a kid, I might have taken it a bit too far. Love you both. I hope you're having an amazing rest of your day.
Oh, my gosh. That's commitment. You loved
the book.
That's commitment.
Wow. I kind of like, part of me is like, just throw it away. But then I kind of like that it's
no,
just
I
like
think it's hilarious.
The story behind it. Everyone's, she yeah. said she spilled apple juice on it. Hi. I mean, I'm trying to think of the last time I was really into a book like that.
Honestly, I feel like for me. Harry Potter series, because I read those later.
Bit. Yeah.
That's intense. I don't, what's like the worst? I've definitely dropped a phone in the toilet.
I don't think I've ever dropped a phone. That's a good question.
Yeah, I don't think I've dropped too much, but I have done a phone because it was in my back pocket. So when I pulled my pants down.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's rough.
Rough stuff.
For nearly 4 decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Hello, everyone. It's Taryn
and Ashley
from Unsolicited Advice. And if you want to listen to our show without ads, you can now.
Just go to unsolicitedadvice.supercast.com or click the link in the episode description and you can get a 1-week preview of the ad-free version for free.
You'll get ad-free listening to the show. You can listen on almost any podcasting app and you'll be supporting our show too. That's unsolicitedadvice.supercast.com. Let me get into my story. This one is called Moving for Love and Possibly Regretting It.
Oh, well.
Whoop, there it is. Okay. Hey, Ashley and Taryn. Okay.
Hey.
Guys, I thought we had an agreement. Mm. Can I just say, I love your podcast. Listening to you two feels like I'm hanging out with a couple of very wise friends.
Wise?
I'd suggest settling in. This might be a long one.
Honored.
It's really not.
Honored with the wise.
I am very wise.
I mean, that's going to go straight to my head for the rest of the day.
We're smart. We're sophisticated.
Okay. We is kind.
We is okay.
Smart.
My name is Jillian, and yes, you can say my name. In 2019, I met my partner while traveling in Nepal. He's from the UK and I'm from Canada. We fell in love, and since then, we've been in a committed long-distance relationship. Luckily, we had been able to see each other every 2 to 3 months, which kept our relationship thriving and full of love. We both learned how to become excellent communicators, and I would say that for the most part, distance made our relationship stronger. Unfortunately, the pandemic threw a wrench in our life plans. The last time he and I were together was in January 2021, and that was 7 months ago. During this time apart, I went through many big life changes. I finished culinary school, moved across the country on my own, got my dream job working at an outdoor winery.
Girl, you're on fire.
I know. Not only that, but I also met a girl who made me feel all the things my partner used to make me feel. Throughout this time, my partner and I were doing everything we could to keep our relationship going. We decided that it would be best if I moved to the UK, since coming to Canada wasn't an option for him back in May. Long story short, I got my visa, booked a plane ticket, and left everything I knew behind to start a new adventure in the UK with him. However, 7 months apart still does a number on a relationship, and now that I'm here, we're not the same. He used to make me feel so alive, happy, and like I could trust myself. But now I find myself counting the minutes until he goes to work so I can be alone again. I'm trying not to jump to conclusions because I'm sure that we need time to heal from seven months apart. I've brought up these feelings with him, and he's very understanding and willing to work on our relationship. But I can't help but feel like we've grown apart. Maybe our time together is over. Our life goals don't align anymore, and I feel like I've made a big enough sacrifice that I shouldn't have to make the next one. It breaks my heart to think about my life without him in it, but at the same time, I wonder if I need time alone for me to blossom. Any advice that you have would be greatly appreciated. I'm feeling very lost. Cheers, Jillian.
Jillian.
Ugh, that gives me so much anxiety.
I mean,
that's a hard position.
That's a huge, I mean, and she dropped everything, mm-hmm. left everything, and isn't mm-hmm. there now. I'm curious how much of, sorry, this is me just diving right in. I'm curious how much of the move and her having left everything that she'd worked for is playing a part in her feeling.
Oh, I'm sure it's part of it.
Any sort of way towards him. Not sure. Like I don't want to outright say you might be resenting him, but it kind of sounds like it could very well not be the relationship itself, but the fact that you feel like you were the one who had to leave to do this. Does that make sense?
Oh my God, totally.
I feel that way.
I mean, I don't think you guys know each other in like a tangible way.
Yeah.
In regards to like, if you were only seeing each other every 2 to 3 months, I'm sure it was only for what, like a weekend, a week? Like, it's not like you were spending like months together. Mm-hmm. So when that happens, it's very like honeymoon-esque, right? Right. Like,
you're
you
getting
haven't
the best
seen
version
each other
of them
for 3 months, so you're going to plan all this stuff. You're going to be so excited, taking advantage of every minute with them because they're going to leave and you're not going to see them again for a while.
Yeah.
So I think that you guys didn't even have a chance to transition into what a relationship would look like when you're consistently together.
Yeah.
Not only that, but now you're with each other 24/7, which is literally the exact opposite
of how it's been.
Of how it was. So that's a huge change. And then to add on top of it what you were saying, like new job, your friends are over there, your family's over there. That's a lot of stress to put on a relationship that doesn't have that physical we're with each other all the time foundation.
Yeah. And you guys both mastering communication like while apart doesn't mean that you've mastered communication in person. Like there's so much nonverbal stuff that goes down and eye contact that happens in person that just isn't needed or used in any way when it comes to talking online or texting or phone calls and stuff like that. So this is, I feel like you very much need to treat this like a brand new relationship.
Yeah.
And not throw away what you have taught yourself in the past with each other, but kind of like set it aside, because what you were doing to help your relationship survive in the past isn't going to help your relationship survive now.
Yeah, it's fully different.
It's like two completely different strategies for a healthy relationship. Go ahead.
I think it's very interesting because, I mean, of course, I'm going to relate this to me and my true love, Ashley. Because
for life,
you know, but what was our one area that struggled when we moved in together?
Yeah.
Communication.
Yeah.
Like there was so much more distance between us. I was feeling so neglected and like all this stuff where Ashley was like, well, we're with each other all the time. Like, why do we need to like plan to hang out, or why do I need to tell you about my day? Because you were like in the other room.
Yeah.
And that was our biggest area to overcome.
It's probably going to be my problem when I get married one day.
It is. But you know what? He'll have me. I'll be like, look, just let me know when you're struggling. I'll tell you what's said. It's fine. And also, my brother went through this with, he dated a girl and their relationship started long distance. Uh-huh. And they dated for 4 years, being him living in Arizona, her living where we live. And same thing, like there was so much communication. It was great. And they were so excited to be in the back in the same area. But then it was really hard for them to find their new normal, right?
Yeah.
Because then it would be like, well, I want to be with you all the time, but then I have other stuff going on. It was like, it was hard for them to find what their relationship looked like in a new area.
Because and their normal before included a lot of like their own self time.
Yeah. And I can't imagine what it would have been like if they just immediately moved in together. Mm-hmm. Like just moving in with someone forces you to face so many different things that normal relationships where you have your time to go home and be separate, you don't have to face.
Yeah.
So I really think like you had the most intense like whirlwind of a change happen. And I don't think that's anything wrong with you guys. There were a couple things that I were kind of red flags. Like you said something about like your life goals don't align anymore. So I think there are some things that you said that I don't think you should ignore. But I would be curious to see, and obviously it depends if this is like physically, financially possible or not.
Right. Yeah.
But I'd be interested in like, what if you got your own place?
Yeah.
That's near him.
Wow. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. Like that you could still go and literally like Ash was saying, like start over, like just tell him, be like, honestly, I don't know how to be in this like this, and I'm having a hard time. I think it was too fast of a change, and I love you, but I think we need to take like a step backwards so we can move forward.
Yeah.
Move into your own place, have him start asking you on dates, like go to the grocery store together, like do the little things in life that you weren't able to do, and see if that can help you guys start to like build back into something. Or it might be like, oh, yeah, no, I don't want to be with him. And then now you know, but you're in your own space. You don't have to go through a messy breakup, then move out situation. You know, that would be my advice.
Yeah, I completely agree with Taryn. I think when you're in a relationship, a lot of people assume that you just kind of do everything together. But I'm not that way. And it sounds like me and you are very similar. I do need space if I want to have a healthy, happy relationship with someone. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think me allowing myself to have space makes me a better person for that other person. And I think if you sit back and like take a moment, it looks like your whole life, you're a very independent person. You have your own goals, your own mindset, your own life and dreams. And all of those things are amazing. And a lot of them, it sounds like, doesn't really necessarily include him. So I agree with Taryn. I feel like you're already there. You dropped everything to go there. I'm not saying move back home. I agree with Taryn. I think you need your own place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you need to reevaluate your relationship from that distance and see where you guys end up. Yeah. And I think you should talk to him about this because he sounds very supportive and easygoing. And you said that he said he was willing to work on stuff. So yeah. I feel like if you bring this up to him and you're just like, hey, I'm having a hard time. I'm not worried about us right now. I'm worried about like me feeling stuck here. And I think I need my own room, my own space to play, my own life. I want you in it. But like, I think I need my own space. He sounds like the type of guy who's going to be like, cool, like, yeah, let's try this. And then you can start a life where you get to go on a walk without telling him. You get to like, yeah, go run errands without him following you, you know? And it's weird little things like that that I think I need in my life. And it sounds like you might need it too. And I think that's totally fine. And once you do that, I'm so curious, like Taryn said, I'm curious to see how you guys will do, if you'll thrive or if that'll just kind of answer the question that you don't really,
yeah,
want to be with him.
Well, and I think a lot of people fall into this place of feeling like they have to make these definite, mm-hmm, life altering like choices and all this stuff. And really, like, I mean, life is so, it's so complex. Like you can find what works best for you. So like if hearing this, you're like, oh my God, I have to move out, I have to do all these things. There's, girl, get like a long-term Airbnb and, yeah, be like, I found a place for 2 months.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to drastically like move all my stuff out, but like, I'm going to go stay here, see if I can get back on my feet. Like, I'm going to force myself like 2 times a week to go try to make friends, to go try to get involved in different things. Life. And at the end of that, you can see like, okay, yeah, I'm wanting more time by myself, and then you can make a bigger decision. But I think sometimes we get so afraid of like these massive changes, and mm-hmm, I think you can take a step back and just do like one step at a time, you, yeah, know?
Yeah, I completely agree. And if you feel like it, you should give us an update later because I'm, yeah, so curious what's going to happen.
I'm very curious too. And also like, I don't know, I just feel like you guys have gone through so much, and I think it takes a very beautiful relationship to survive long distance. So I can see why you're hesitant to just throw that away.
Right.
So I think whatever, if he's willing to work on it, and I think if you explain it in a very like clear, concise way, while also making sure you're reassuring him of how you feel about him, I think it could be a good thing. Yeah. And then, but again, talk to people in your life, figure out, yeah, like what's best for you. And I think like life has a weird way of like working itself out, but we have to be willing to like take steps in a direction for there to be change. Yeah. You know,
I think if you have the conversation with him and you prioritize your needs right now, because you are still, you're not married, you know, there's that, you're committed, but you're still able to do that. I think the answer will show, yeah, itself to you.
Yeah. But thank you so much for writing in. I hope, you know, our rambling helped you in some way.
Okay, moving on from Taryn's story to mine. This one is interesting.
Oh.
Yes. It is titled, Advice for My Financially Irresponsible Friend.
Oh, is it about me? I am the worst.
That's why we're good at this.
So much
that's
better,
why
though.
We're very balanced when it comes. Yeah. Your answer is going to be so 50-50. It's going to be great. Okay. Yeah.
Boy, I need you to acknowledge that I've gotten so much better.
You have
better.
Gotten so much better.
Thank you.
Hey, Ash and Taryn, I love both of your YouTube channels. Welcome back to the platform, Taryn. And just got back into your podcast after taking a small podcast hiatus. After binging episodes of the pod to catch up, I feel that writing in for my issue below is appropriate. For the tagline, I need advice for dealing with my financially irresponsible friend. Okay, let's get into it. Now for the details. This issue centers around my friend from high school. Let's call her Sarah. Sarah and I have been friends for about 10 years. We are currently both 26. Sarah has had consistent jobs since we were in high school, yet she somehow has no savings. And I mean absolutely none, and tons of credit cards and student debt. She's been living paycheck to paycheck, and when given the opportunity to save money / pay back debts, she chooses to spend it on non-essential items like clothes, takeout coffee, and subscription boxes. The subscription boxes.
They get you.
Now, I am no money expert, and I for sure impulse buy items from Instagram ads. Girl, same.
My
side
shirt.
Side note, Instagram, their algorithm figured me out at the top of this year.
They're listening.
I don't know what's going on. Like, this has never happened before. I used to never shop on Instagram. This year, they figured me out, and I've lost count of the amount of things that I've purchased from Instagram.
Yeah. So,
tread lightly, guys. Anyway, she continues. But Sarah complains to me about her finances frequently. I have tried to help her by sharing my budgeting tracking spreadsheets and tips for reducing impulse purchases. I am a graduate student, so I know how to ball on a budget, she puts. Sometimes she's receptive to these tips, and other times she aggressively tries to defend expenses like non-essential weekend trips. So here's the real dilemma. She is a very generous friend and will often do things like mail me care packages or Venmo me coffee money. But I feel so guilty when she does these things. I try to repay her with things I know she'll use responsibly, like a Trader Joe's gift card. That's honestly clever.
Yeah.
However, how do I continue this going forward? I care about Sarah and appreciate her generosity, but I also want her to start saving money, and I'm worried about her future. Thank you both so much for your help and advice. Sincerely, the finance savvy friend.
The finance savvy friend. I'm
done. That's frustrating. I think what is difficult is how long you've been witnessing this. Because she says they've been friends for 10 years.
I think for me, it's that, but it's also the fact that she's expressed she needs help. And then gets defensive, which I can relate to too. Even like there's been times with you where I'm like, one second I'm like, yeah, I want help. I want you to motivate me. And the other I'm like mentally weak and I can't take any criticism whatsoever.
Right.
So I think that's where it's like a hard balance of, okay, like I want to help you, but you're not accepting the help I'm giving.
Yeah.
But this is a really hard one.
This is really tough. So there's a few things I want to say. I'm so curious. I wish you had done this. I don't know what Enneagram number you are, but it does feel like you're taking on a lot of her problems, mm-hmm. and it's not your job.
Yeah.
So I understand that we all know from an outsider's perspective, her having no debt and having a savings equals a secure and safe future. and we want that for her because we want her to have a happy life and a safe life and to not have to stress about things like this. But in the end, that is her responsibility and genuinely no one else's.
Yeah.
You can offer to help. You can give the advice that you've given. But it sounds like you've done all that. And she, after 10 years, if she still hasn't taken it, then I think that's her answer. She actually doesn't want your help and she doesn't want to deal with this. So for your own sanity's sake, I'm curious if you should maybe back off, because it really is not your job. And it's scary to sit back and watch and be like, oh, you might want to start working on these things as a friend because you want what's best for her. But it's also, you've been trying, she's not taking it.
Yeah. I think too, like, I mean, at the end of the day, like, she's the only one that can make a change happen. Like, mm-hmm. it's not, you can say all you want, but if she's not ready to make that change for herself, it's not going to happen.
Right.
And unfortunately, with stuff like that, you almost have to hit rock bottom before you can make a choice.
Some people have to learn the hard way.
Yeah. And I mean, I struggled a lot because I got myself in a bad position and then it took me forever to get out of it because I was having to pay debt and things like that. And luckily, I never got credit cards because I was just too scared of that. Mm-hmm. But just with student loans, with like I had to borrow money to put down on my car for my brother. So I was like having to pay him back. And it became very much like every paycheck was gone before I even like got to touch it. And then the little amount of money I had, my priority was like, okay, well, I'm single. I don't have a family. This is my only time I can just spend money on things that make me happy. So of course I would love to go on that trip, or of course I would love to like spend money to go to this concert or to go to Coachella, when like really that was like all the money I had for like, you know, fun stuff or for anything at that time.
Spending money.
Yeah. So I was able to trace back, like, not only am I bad at money, or just like my mentality was very just like nonchalant at that time, but I was also working towards paying bills and things like that. And so that's, I can see your frustration of like, okay, you say you have these money problems, but you keep getting credit cards, you keep not paying your bills, which is going to make your payments higher because you're going to get penalized. So it's like you're literally watching her bury herself deeper and deeper into a hole. Mm-hmm. But like Ash was saying, like I mentioned, that's, she's got to figure that out on her own. And I don't think you should ignore the type of person you are fully. Like if that's just who you are, the type that offers help, I would just be careful about how you do it. Because
and how much help.
Yeah, like for me, like if I kept giving advice and it was being ignored, like that would start to take an effect on me.
Well, so, and how much of your time are you sitting here trying to make a budget plan for your friend?
Yeah.
You know, when you shouldn't be wasting your time on something that she doesn't want.
Yeah. And so I would say we've mentioned it so many times. You always ask permission before, right? So like I would just, if you feel like you want to share something or if she's complaining about it, be like, hey, do you want my advice? Like, can I give you a piece of advice? And then you can continue to pour into her. But it's, you have to balance out like how much like effort or how much like you're getting attached to it. Like, are you getting pissed off every time you see her spend something?
Yeah.
You're probably a little too close, you know?
Yeah. Because that's what I picture in my head.
Yeah.
If I was advising you on something, literally anything, and I see you doing the opposite,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to start resenting you because of how much time and energy I poured into that.
Yeah, you take
I'm
it personal.
I'm going to be like, wait, I thought me and you made this whole plan, and here you are ordering Chinese takeout.
Yeah.
What happened to the plan? I start getting my feelings hurt because I'm like, I worked so hard on that budget plan and you're not using it.
No,
you know?
For sure. I think too, like, you can be strategic about, like, if you are like, oh, she keeps spending money on me, like, maybe just the next time she brings finances, be like, okay, can I be honest with you? Like, you are so sweet in how you always buy stuff, but be like, I really don't need that. Like for me, like you just being like, hey, can I come over and like spend time with you? Like I would rather you do that than send me money for coffee, because like that is not like how I feel loved. Like you can be strategic about how you talk to her about stuff like that.
I do think it's great that she Venmos when you know, pay for something or whatever. But maybe just like outright decline it. Just be like, no.
Can you do that?
Yeah, you can decline a payment.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So my friend just did that to me recently. I would just outright be like, no, like my treat.
Yeah.
You know, and just kind of push that every once in a while. You could have some kind of big talk about like, hey, I'm not going to bring this up anymore, but if you need help, like, let me know. But I feel like people are weird with money.
Yeah.
And I feel like that could very easily, not that you would, but it could, that conversation could very easily get out of hand and kind of spicy. So maybe what I would do, similar to what Taryn was saying, is I would just kind of from now on not bring it up, not mention it. If she brings it up on her own, do exactly what Taryn said. Be like, would you like my, do you want to know?
Yeah.
Do you really want to know what I have to say about it? Or do you want me to not really give an opinion? Because there's been multiple times where I've heard people bring something up and it's like, well, I have words to say
yeah
on this, but should I say it? I don't know. And so giving her that option of, do you want actual criticism or do you want me to just be like, oh, that sucks, I'm so sorry, you know? Give her that choice so you don't have to make it for her.
Fully. And I think, I mean, money's just hard. It's something you feel very like judged about, or that people, you know, the more money you have, the better you're seen in society, mm-hmm. or, you know, people love to flaunt their financial responsibility. Like they love to be like, oh, my savings, or I could qualify for this loan for a house because of like my, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes like, It's not that it's intentional, but if you're already feeling insecure about something, it doesn't matter if you're saying something nice or not. I'm going to feel attacked by anything you say if I'm feeling bad about something.
And this goes with
something.
Anything.
Oh, with anything.
Absolutely. Any insecurity there is. Yeah.
So I would ask her, like, the next time she asks for help or anything, be like, oh, like, you know what? Like, let me do some research on stuff. And then maybe you could like send her a book, be like, oh, this is like really high reviewed. Like, let me know what you think about it. Or kind of like detach yourself from being the one that's saying stuff. And maybe if she asks for stuff, send her like a link to a video, a link to like a book that's out there. Like,
I
whatever
was gonna
it
say,
is.
Maybe not a book. Because I feel like most people don't read, at least me.
But
I
they have
read
so
it.
Many like
podcasts are great.
They have so many like kind of like workbook things that you can write out budgeting. True. And it's like a hands-on thing. Which someone like me, I love stuff like that, you know, because I feel I do much better with like the physical thing there.
Got it.
So I think you just need to find like what works for her, and then, you know, offer that up instead of you being the one that's trying to coach her through it.
Yeah. I do want to say I love that you repay her with things like Trader Joe's gift cards.
Yeah, that's freaking
think
brilliant.
That is the most subtle, responsible thing to do as a friend, to be like, hey, I know you. You're getting a grocery gift card. You're
honestly
getting a gas gift card. Like, those are things that she will actually need and use and will have no choice but to, like, use for those things.
Yeah.
And that's brilliant.
When I was struggling, I lived off of that, because there would be times where I'd be like, oh my gosh, like, I'm hungry and I literally have nothing in my bank account, and I would have like a Chick-fil-A gift card or something, you know, and I'd be like, oh my god, thank god I'm saved, you know.
Thank god
but
I'm saved.
It's so it is smart. It is it's a smart way to still be like, oh, I know you love Trader Joe's, let me give you a gift card, but also be like protecting her from using it on something.
Yeah,
dumb.
We're taking care of her while at the same time giving her freedom to make her own choices. So proud of you for doing that. And also, like, I just think that's really cool of you as a friend to be so concerned about your friend.
Yeah.
For this reason. Like, that is a really, I feel like people joke about money and not being able to budget, not being able to save, but it really is such an important thing. And I love that you're worried about your friend for this. Like, that's really cool.
No,
that's,
for sure.
You sound like a great friend.
Yeah.
So thank you for writing in and sharing that with us. I also don't think we've talked about something like that.
I don't know if we have either.
Which is, I love a new story. let's go ahead and wrap it up with a dad joke like we normally do. Taryn is still, you know, just flipping through her dad book that I got her for
Christmas.
Yes,
I am. I will be for the next few years.
Just kidding.
Okay. Ready?
Yes.
You got to pay attention.
I'm ready. I'm focused.
I asked my wife what she wanted for Christmas. She said nothing would make me happier than a diamond necklace. So I gave her nothing.
No. And now you're in a fight.
And now you're getting a divorce.
And it's over. Guys, thank you so much for listening, for making it to the end of this podcast, for making it to the dad joke. We love you guys so much. We're so excited because October series is around the corner, and it's the best time
bless
to be
up.
Alive. Be sure to follow us on socials. Like, rate, review, share.
All the
subscribe.
Things. Yeah.
And we'll talk to you guys later.
Love you all.
Bye.